Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour's weekly broadcast, where my dad's timeless messages continue to bring hope and encouragement to hearts just like yours. Recently, we received a letter from a viewer in North Dakota, and it reads, "I just finished listening to Pastor Salem's sermon on angels. I can't begin to tell you how much his sermons inspire me. He truly was a great ambassador for Christ. I love his sense of humor and his Bible-based sermons. I hope and pray this ministry can continue for a long time." Our Mother's Day message tells the story of a woman who devoted her life to the Lord and served as a shining example for all. Today we lift up every woman in prayer, that the Lord would surround you in his comfort, strengthen you with his peace, and remind you of his boundless love for you. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I want to give you a big welcome today because it's Mother's Day. And that's really a special day. I know I think of my mother. Oh, dear, I had a godly mother. And I'm anxious to see her again. And you know, one thing about my mother, she always believed in me. And I didn't want to let her down. And that kept me out of a lot of trouble. Didn't want to let my mother down. So we're going to think about the mothers today. And we're going to think about a woman. I don't know if she was a mother or not, but she's preaching all over the world. So you stay tuned for that. But we're looking at Psalm 77, verses 11 to 15, where the psalmist says, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that dost wonders, and thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joshua." And oh, dear God, thank you for being such a great God. And we just thank you that you never will leave us or forsake us. And we pray today, Lord, as our message, we pray for the mothers all over the world. We're so thankful for them. And may our message today encourage them. May all we do and say be an honor to you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Jan's going to sing for us, "Glory to His Name," and God bless you, Jan.
He washed it white as snow.
Well, thank you, Jan, and glory to his name. Oh, my goodness. This wonderful, wonderful Savior. And he never looked more beautiful than when he went to the cross and paid for our sins on the cross. And you know something? We're told in the book of Hebrews, they're talking about Jesus going to the cross. And it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus had joy going to the cross because he knew he was going to redeem a multitude of people. And there's only one way to save the way. There's only one way to heaven, and to be cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. And glory, glory to Jesus. And that's what we do in the Christian Worship Hour. I tell you, brothers, sisters, we do the best we can in telling about that Savior. And we're praying today, it's Mother's Day, and we're just praying a special blessing on these mothers. And I can't say enough about my mother. I'm anxious to see her again. She'd been gone a long time, since 1990. But I'll see her. I'll bet she'll be waiting for me. Just like when I was a little kid and coming home from school, and she'd be waiting for me. When I came home from school, we were in a country school, walked a mile and a half. It was uphill both ways, if you can imagine that. And we walked a mile and a half. And the first thing I did when I got home was to see my mother. Where's my mother? And I see my mother, and then I go and run off and play. Oh, you mothers are important. But before the message, we want to look at some letters. Gets all these nice letters. And thank you for writing. Just keep it up. And if you can send a gift along with it, that's fine, because I'll tell you about our offering in a few minutes, because we have to have your help if we're going to carry on. We've been going now for over 40 years. The Lord hasn't let us down a bit. We expect he'll carry on till he's done with our work, and then it'll dry up and we'll dry up. And so what more do you want? Well, the first one is from Tigard, Oregon. And this lady writes, this is an interesting letter. Today I was going through magazines and cookbooks I'm giving away. In one, I found $45. As I kept going, another one had a $10 bill in it. I knew immediately where this found money belongs. God bless you all of your ministry. All of you at the Christian Worship Hour are gracious blessings to all of us. Love in Christ to all. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' eternal love. Isn't that a nice letter? Now, first thing I want to say is she thanks us for saving her, and I tell you how we did it. We just brought the Word of God, see? We preach the Word of God in music and in word, and then the Holy Spirit takes it and applies it to hearts, and the Holy Spirit says, he convicts us of sin. He says, he makes us, I'm sinned. I can't never go to heaven with this sin. There's no heaven and there's no sin in heaven. And, oh, dear God, what am I going to do? And so then we convict of sin. And there's a remedy for that. Jesus paid it all, see? Glory to his name. And so then you come to the Lord. And now she says she found this money in the cookbook. So I thought, oh, boy, I'm going to go through. My wife is gone. But she maybe left some money too, and I'll look through all our cookbooks. I didn't find nothing. So I put that away. We're going to go broke if I'm going to get the money from a cookbook. Here's Rapid City, South Dakota. Oh, yes. Now listen here. I would really be grateful if you would explain the Trinity, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. They're all one as I currently understand. It's hard for me to comprehend. I don't know which name I should pray when I pray, so I say Jesus, God, Holy Spirit. Now, God bless this dear lady. It says, would you explain the Trinity? No, I can't explain the Trinity. That's God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And for me to try to explain it would be just like saying, I'm walking down the street and there's a worm on the sidewalk. And I said, that worm, would you try to explain something to me? There's no way. It's God. And we'll understand when we get to heaven, I'm sure. But what we do, we can give some illustrations. And the best illustration of the Trinity that I know is an illustration of the formula for water. The formula for water is H2O. H2O. Now you can have H2O and you can have it as a vapor, and it's still H2O, a vapor. Or you can have it as drinking water. It's a liquid, not a vapor. It's a liquid. It's still H2O. Or you can have it as ice cubes, solid, and it's still H2O. So you see, it can be a vapor, it can be a liquid, it can be a solid, but it's all the same thing. And thou shalt, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, is there any illustration in the Bible on that? Yes, there is. There is. I want to share it with you. It's in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3. It's at the baptism of Jesus. So when you get done with this, when you're done with the sermon, be sure to listen to the sermon, make your offering, do all that now. And then you can get a look in Matthew chapter 3. At the baptism of Jesus, this is the way it was. We read, first of all, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. So there's Jesus. He's the Son. He's in the water. The next line says, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. That's the Holy Spirit. So you have Jesus in the water and the Holy Spirit descending from heaven. And then the third word where you see, we read, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, and that's the Father. So there you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The three are distinct, and yet there's one God. Now, when you come to things of God, you take it by faith. You don't explain everything, because you can't explain God. And there's things in the Bible we take by faith. We believe it. When God says a giant fish swallowed Jonah for 3 days and three nights, I believe it. I never doubt it for a minute. And when they say about Lazarus, he's been dead all these years and his body started to decay, and God calls him forth from the grave, and he comes up and he's in his flesh. So you have to take that by faith. But I believe it with all of my heart, never doubt it. If you don't want to believe in miracles, don't read the Bible. Because if you don't believe that God is great enough to do these miracles, then don't spend time on the Bible, because that's what it's teaching. You take it by faith. But now this dear lady says here too, and she says she doesn't know how to pray. And so she prays Jesus, God, and Holy Spirit. Well, look up John chapter 16. John 16, verse 23. And this is what it says. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, Jesus is saying this, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So we talk to God the Father in Jesus' name. That's why we say at the close of the prayer, in Jesus' name. Not told to pray to the Holy Spirit, and this is the Father and the Son. So I hope that helps a little bit. But just let God be God. Could try to figure everything out. I used to say, how can a black cow eat green grass and give white milk? How do you figure that out? See, so while you're figuring on that, just forget it. Just drink the milk and go on your way. Okay, here's Woodbridge, Virginia. I was born in Lima, Peru, living in the United States since 1984. I want to express my gratitude to you and your ministry. During the month of March 2018, I learned the meaning of the blood of the Lamb. Your explanation about the shed blood, the sacrifice in the Old Testament, finally made sense to me. You do a great job, and your sermons are easy to understand. And so what we teach about is simply that the blood of 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sins. And it's not only through the blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ takes away all sins. And the blood of Christ is so important. I'm going to preach about it. I think it's going to be later in the year if I live that long. And I'm going to preach about the blood of Christ. But in Revelation 1, verse 56, we're told something that happens in heaven. The song of the redeemed in heaven is unto him is this, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, he glory be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that's going to be the song of heaven. Now, you don't hear them singing much in these hymn books and the services anymore, but in heaven, they're going to sing about the blood of Jesus. So better get ready right now. Here's Hiawatha, Iowa. I am writing to say my husband has been a viewer of yours since he was in the ninth grade. He is now 56. Well, our ministry started in January 1979, so he must have been listening to almost all of those sermons. And oh my, you sure have my sympathy. But if you know, if you think it's tough, how do you think if I am preaching them? Preaching for 75 years, wouldn't you get tired of it? Never, never. I never get tired of preaching because it's such a wonderful message. I have a message in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus Christ came, that he was crucified, and he was buried, and he was raised again. That's the gospel. And I never get tired of preaching because I can give you hope. I don't care who you are. I can give you hope. I don't care how bad you are. I can give you hope that your sins can be washed away in the blood of the Lamb and you can be in heaven with Jesus and with the rest, with all the believers. But once you die, then it's all settled. The judgment is set. Everything is set. Heaven or hell, that's it. So come to Jesus now. That's what we pray. Westbrook, Minnesota. Thank you for your ministry, Spirit filled for your video, Spirit, A Heart of a Shepherd. We love it and see it over and over again. We share it as our assisted living apartments. To God be the glory. Our young friend viewed it and she said it seemed like only 15 minutes, not an hour. She loved it. And so that's why we made this. We made this film, our film, so that you can show it to people that don't know Jesus. And it gives the invitation and given how to come to Jesus and the need for coming to Jesus. And it shows how a 10-year-old boy, I'm the 10-year-old boy, came to Jesus and prayed and received him and been walking with the Lord. Now, I've not been perfect. I don't want to give any false impressions that I lived a perfect life because I've made a lot of blunders, a lot of sins, but he always forgives me. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and he always forgives me. Never holds a grudge. Now I have that wonderful peace and joy walking with the Savior. And then here, and here's one in Spearville, Kansas. Thank you for your dedication and service to the Lord. We appreciate the opportunity to worship with you on Sunday morning. We want to be a part of the team. We live in the Wild West. Our home is in Spearville, Kansas, 17 miles from Dodge City. Well, boy, I've seen some movies of videos on Dodge City, and boy, that's a pretty tough place. But I suppose they probably tamed down now, so we wouldn't need to worry. But nice to hear from them, and just God bless you. One more. This is from Trinidad and Tobago in the West Indies. Think of that, from the West Indies. They write, on behalf of my sister, my nephew, and his two children, I am sending this gift to support the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how far it is for the West Indies. I had Kent look it up, and I forgot what he said, and I didn't write it down, but it is a long, long ways. But here's, and they send a gift to help us. And that's what we need to have you do, friends. You need to pray for us. You need to send us a gift and help us along. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you'd like to have our Bible study, we have a little Bible study this month. It is the Eyes of the Lord. And it tells about the Lord, is how he sees us. He sees us when we're happy, sees us when we're sad. He sees us when we're lonely, sees us when we're crying, sees us when a loved one is taken away. It's a nice little Bible study. It's free and postpaid. And you say, well, how can you make it do? It's free and postpaid. Somebody has to pay for it, don't they? Oh, sure. We have people send in, they say, you can help those with the film, you can help with this or that, you can help with this Bible study. And God always provided for over 40 years. We've never run short. We've always had enough. And so you need to be thinking about that, man, having a help in this, and help us, because we're dependent on God's people. We're not underwritten by any organization or denomination or corporation. We're just God's people. This is the way it works. We preach the best way. We sing the hymns the best way we can. We give our best, very best, and then we give it to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes it all over the world. In the shortwave radio, we cover 95% of the world's population. And the TV, I don't know what it is, but it's a lot. It's a big part of the world. And the Holy Spirit takes it and applies it to the hearts of people. And then the Holy Spirit talks to them, and they'll say, oh, yes, I want Jesus to come into my heart. And maybe he'll help you to see, like Jesus says in Rome in Revelation 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I'll open the door and come in. I'll come into your heart. I had a little boy one time at a summer camp. His name was Keith. And I read that verse to him. I says, Keith, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? He says, no. And then he asked me a question that I've never been asked in 75 years. He said, what if I ask him to come in and he won't come in? Well, Jesus knew he was going to ask that, I guess, because the scripture says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I want to come in. That's why I died, so I can come into your heart. And you can say that prayer. And then you can write to us, and we'll send you literature. And wherever you are in the world, we'll send you literature. And then you can worship with us and also read the Gospel of John. And that's a great passage. And then we need to have, as I say, we need to have you to help us. And for instance, we have a film. It's called The Heart of a Shepherd, The Heart of a Shepherd. And it is made purposely to show people that are not Christians so they can see the way of eternal life and they can how to accept Jesus and the need to accept Jesus. It's what you call an evangelistic film. It's 1 hour long. We send it out on a free will offering basis. And we want you to show it to people so they can come to Jesus. And we've had people have seen that film and have prayed to have Jesus come into their heart. That's what we want, called the heart of a shepherd. So you just write and say, I'd like to have the heart of a shepherd. I'd like to have the Bible study. And we'll send it. And if you don't have the money, somebody else will have the money. And then help us out on our giving. And I always have to mention this. We are a member of an organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that's an international organization, and they audit our books. They check our books. And boy, do they go through them when they go through those things. It scares you to death. But we're all on the level, so we never have to worry. And you know that every penny you give is going to go exactly where we say. We have a budget that shows you just exactly how we spend it. And we watch that budget. We stay within the budget. Have to. So if you'd like to help us, then you help us. So we're going to do it this way. I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord, now, does this Christian Worship Hour, is that something you want me to supply, Lord, support, Lord? It's with your money. Should I send some money? And then he'll say, no, you'll give it to somebody else. Or he'll say, yes. I hope you'll say yes. But we don't want it if God doesn't want it, see? And then he'll say, yes. You say, now, Lord, how much should I send? And he'll tell you how much to send. And then you send it to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can send it on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. And wherever you are in the world, you can send it, and we'll get it in American currency, pay our bills. So this is how we do it. Jan's going to play. I'm going to pray, Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord leads, and we'll be satisfied with that because we know we're getting what God wants us to get. So Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jan. Well, we're reading from the Gospel of Mark today, and we're reading about this lady, and she became world famous. And it's in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and he beheld how people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto her, unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which has cast into the treasury. For they all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. We're going to pray, and in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Algeria. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this story of this woman. Don't even know if she was a mother, but she was a widow woman. And she made a certain gift in a certain way so that she's known all over the world. And she's going to stand for eternity because your word is never going to end. It's going to abide forever. And so we pray that as we look at this, we'll be take comfort and help. And I pray especially for the mothers today, Lord, as they see this woman and how she made a mark for you, Lord, that the world talked about for 2,000 years and will all talk for all eternity. And may it encourage them that they may be unseen and unknown. They may be like this woman. Nobody knows about them, but they serve, but they work hard and they carry on with their family. Maybe it's a single mother, Lord, and I know that's extra hard. Help them not to worry, not to give up. Be not weary in well-doing, but just to know that you love them and you'll help them. So now we pray that in this service today that we'll help people, all people, to come to a saving knowledge of your Son. And we'll give you the, be careful to give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And now before I get to preach, Hank is going to sing, Jesus is Real to Me. God bless you, Hank.
You bet. Thank you, Pastor.
Some people say the Bible isn't true, that it's only for the simple and the weak. All that I know, I'm a different man today, all because of what Jesus did for me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real to me. Jesus is real. In my heart, I can feel. I know what happened to me. He's more than religion. He's more than tradition. He's more than a man of history. Jesus is real to me. Some people trust in religion. Some people trust in themselves. But I'm here to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, there's only one who can help. Jesus is real. Jesus is real to me. Jesus is real. In my heart I can feel. I know what happened to me. He's more than religion. He's more than tradition. He's more than a man of history. Jesus is real to me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real to me. Jesus is real. In my heart I can feel. I know what happened to me. He's more than religion. He's more than tradition. He's more than a man of history. Jesus is real to me. He's more than religion.
He's more
than tradition.
He's more than a man of history. Jesus is real to me.
Well, thank you, Hank. God bless you. And Jesus is real. And I'm going to tell you, he's an historical person. He's an historical being. There is no question but what there was a Jesus Christ that lived, born in Bethlehem, lived in Nazareth, went to a cross and died for our sins. He was buried. And the first Easter Sunday, that tomb was empty. And no one can deny that it was empty. A lot of times they have different ideas on how the body, what happened to the body, but they are, none of them will hold water. You can just knock down every excuse they have, because the only answer is that Jesus Christ was raised from the grave, and he's alive, and he'll be alive forever. And that's Mother's Day. And boy, on Mother's Day, mothers need Jesus, that's for sure. And they're raising the family. I think of my mother. No electricity, no water, 5 children, a couple hired men, and oh my goodness. And yet she just loved Jesus. Used to sing about Jesus when she worked among us. And so we think of the mothers, especially today, because today's Mother's Day. And we just, so in our sermon, we want to encourage mothers. We want to honor them. And just help them along and help them to know that we do care and we love them, and they're going to be rewarded for the labors they do for the Lord. In our scripture today, we have this little lady, and I don't know if she was a mother or not, doesn't say, but she's a woman, and God is honoring women, and not whether you're a mother or not, he's honoring women, womanhood, and so important in the Christian faith and from getting with the Christian faith along. And you see so many times grandmothers, these old grandmothers, and they're telling those little children about Jesus. Oh, God, they do a great work for the Lord. So here she is, and she's preaching a sermon with us, and that goes around the whole world over and over and over, even to this day, and because it's in the Bible, see, and has encouraged people all so many ways. And so we don't know her. We don't know her name. We know she was a widow, but we don't know her husband's name. We don't know what profession he was in. But we know that her name. We know she was poor. We know she was desperately poor, poorer of any of us this morning. And that I know, because if you even have a penny, so much as a penny, you're richer than this woman, because she had 2 mites, which make a farthing, and that was a shade under a penny. That was her whole living. We know that she lived in Jerusalem. We don't know where. Maybe she had a little room someplace. Maybe perhaps she had a corner in her father, here in her son's house. If she had a son, we don't know. We know nothing about her stature. I always picture her as a little woman, and with maybe a little bit stooped over from hard work and labor. But we'll have to wait till we get to heaven. Maybe she'll be a 6-footer. I don't know. And that's the way, an amazing thing that this woman preached a sermon, though she's unknown and unseen, that went all around the world. And I'm going to tell you something. We have a lot of mothers today and a lot of them who are doing work unseen and unnoticed by the world, but God notices them. God knows them, just like Jesus sees this woman. And this woman did all of this in a totally, nobody knew about her. She just comes out of nothing. And in this story, Jesus tells her about that. God has a lot of people like that. They're unknown to the world. They're unknown to in the sight of people. They struggle and work hard alone. And so this woman, that's the kind of a type of woman she was. This story places her in the temple in Jerusalem. And Jesus had gone there with his disciples. And Mark tells us on this particular occasion that Jesus sat opposite the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And Jesus going there, and he says that he's watching them, and not what they gave, but how they gave. Now there's a difference. And sometimes people say, oh, you shouldn't talk about money in the church. That drive people away. But Jesus gives us a whole sermon on money. And it doesn't drive the good people away. And I suppose some of them, they get panicky and they grab their pocketbooks and hang on all during the sermon. They don't want, it just makes them nervous, you know. But we're not going to hurt you. We're going to let the Holy Spirit do that. And so he's telling us, he's not talking about what she gave, but how she gave. It's not the amount of money that she gave, but it's the motive for giving that counts. That's what he's going to talk about. As he watches, this poor widow comes along. She puts in two mites. In verse 42, says, and Mark says, and there was a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Two mites with make a farthing. As a matter of fact, if you want to follow along in your Bible, we're in Mark chapter 12. All these verses taken out of Mark chapter 12. And I know some of you do. You get dressed up for a worship service. You have your Bible and so on. And so that's where we're taking these verses. And so Mark talks about this. And he watches a poor widow, and she casts in two mites, which make a farthing. That's not very much money. And in the circulation of Palestine, it was worth a fraction of a penny. And it was a day's work, or it was from work that she had done. And through this gift that was meager, it represented all that she had in verse 44 of this chapter. And everything she owned, all the money she had, she gave, and it gave it all to Jesus. Every penny, every cent she had. Well, she just had less than a cent. She had two mites, which make a farthing. And that was better than the rich young ruler. He wouldn't give anything. Jesus said to sell all, and he wouldn't do it. Well, here's this little widow woman. Here she is. But this little widow woman was rejoicing in the fact that she could have a part in the service of the Lord. We're told the rich young ruler went away, and the Bible says he went away sorrowful. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. Whenever you have an encounter with Jesus, and you're having one today, having this service, because I'm going to talk about Jesus all the way through, and I'm going to talk about opening your heart to Jesus and following him. I'm not going to tell you to give all your money, although I could say that, but I'm not going to say that. But I want to say you give yourself to him, and then you'd go from there as the Lord leads. And so this poor little woman, she wasn't going to be right like the rich young ruler. She'd have nothing of that because she gave everything she had. And whereupon Jesus says something that's very startling. And so we read in verses 43 and 44, this is what Jesus said. He sees this little woman, this little widow woman, casting in all that she has. And Jesus said, Mark says, and he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, this poor woman, widow, hath cast more in than all they who have cast into the treasury. For all they did, see, that's amazing. He says that this little widow woman gave more than all of the rest put together. Then he explains it. He says, for all they did cast out of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. That means they gave their money and they didn't even miss it. When she gave her gift to the Lord, she gave all her living. That means she's not going to eat until the next day when she gets paid again. That's exactly. And that's what Jesus says. She gave more than all the rest put together. And he's not saying in the number of dollars. He's saying what does it cost her to give. And she's making the biggest sacrifice of anybody there. How could that be, see? And so it's not the amount, but it's the spirit and the cost of the individual. This poor widow woman became a challenge to all of us. She became an example to all of us. She gave an example of how Jesus measures our giving. It gives us a guideline to God. So let's look at this story, this little woman. First of all, she gave, it was a gift. She believed in God. She believed the Messiah was to come, that he would come through Israel as the prophets of old had testified. She believed that she should worship in that temple. She believed that she should value that temple and support the temple's work. And so she took her offering to the temple, and she did it because it's the only place that she can go. They didn't have a lot of churches and all that around and other works. And so she goes to the temple and she gives there. Now, when she gave to the temple, the priesthood was corrupt. They're the ones that are going to crucify Jesus and call for his crucifixion. That's who she's giving to. But she gave it because that's the place they were told to give. And that's exactly what she was doing. And she would let God settle the score and work it all out, see? Today it's a different story. We have 1,000 places we can give to God. We get letters all the time of people wanting to help, and some of them are good works. Many of them are good work for the Lord. And so what we have to do is just to pray because it's the Lord's money and decide where to put it. If your church is faithful to God's word, you ought to give. You ought to be faithful, not just giving the gifts, but your prayers and your service. But if your church isn't true to the word of God and not holding forth the word of God, you better take another look and you better pray about it. But whatever you do, give God your best. Give God your spirit, your soul, your mind. Give God your pocketbook to be like the little widow woman. She gave all she had because she had that great faith. And so this points out the gift was a sacrifice, all her giving. Some have tried to lighten this. Let us take Christ at his word. And it says all of her living. What a dedication. She becomes our example. And that's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. We may feel, I am sure many of the feel, as though we have so little to offer the Lord. But we can give as we would just give and give to the Lord first. And I have people come, and I had a man, his name was George, and this has been 60 years ago. And he says, well, Pastor, I gave my last dollar to the Lord. And finally, I just couldn't stand it anymore. And I said, George, listen, the Bible teaches us don't give your last dollar. Give your first dollar to the Lord. First, you give to the Lord. You give that tithe. And I think of my mother. And we lived in what they call the dirty 30s. And they were hard. If you weren't in those depression years, you can't imagine the depth of the poverty that we had. And I tell my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, and they think I'm making up stories. But we were so desperately poor. And I know as we lived out on a farm. And the only cash income we had on that farm was that we would take the milk, separate the cream from the milk. And we would take the cream into town. We took it to what's called a creamery. And we drove up there. I can remember it yet. And we would take that can of cream into there, and he would total it out. He would figure it in the milk fat and all of whatever he did, and he would give us a check for that amount. And then my mother would take that check, and she would deduct 10% before she spent one penny, or 10%. And then we went to the Red Ox store. It was a grocery store. And she spent the rest of it for groceries. And flour and salt and sugar and I don't know. And then that's all she had. And then when we got done with that, we went home. Now, we didn't get crops. What little crops we did, we used it for our materials there for the animals and to exist on. And one year we planted crops and they didn't even come up. So I know what it's like to be poor. But my dear blessed mother, she taught me and taught her children that you need to give 10% to the Lord. And that's exactly what we did. And we lost our farm, but we didn't lose Jesus. We didn't lose the Lord. And he carried us through, and we got along just fine. And so that's where this little widow woman comes in. She just comes along, and a poor little thing. She just, I call her little. I maybe shouldn't do that. But the Lord knows what she's giving. And God, Jesus tells us very plainly, he went to the temple. He sat over against the temple, against the treasury, to see what people were putting in. And so sometimes when I want to scare people, I tell them, well, you know, now when we take the offering, it's on television, so you'll see what you're giving. Well, that doesn't fall over. That doesn't go at all. But, you know, it's worth a try. But here this, Jesus comes, and he's watching, and he observes what we give, because that tells him, that shows him how much we value him, see. If I want to know what you really value in your life, you let me see your bank stubs and where you spend your money. Now, I can tell you where my heart is. Shows up right away. So this little widow woman, here she is, showing us how we ought to live. And so God tells us, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with which we have to do. Hebrews 4:13. And he observes us and he watches us. And he sees what the motive is. And that motive has to come from our heart because we love the Lord. And we give it with joy. And somebody says, God loves a cheerful giver, but he will accept money from a grouch. But just be careful of this grouch business, because when you think of what Jesus did, what did he pay? He that was rich became poor, that we through his riches, his poverty, might become rich. What did Jesus have? Jesus was homeless when he was here. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He says, the fox have holes, the birds have nests, the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. He didn't have his home when he was in his ministry. And he did it because he loved us. And he did it because he rejoiced in it. And this dear Jesus, I just think of it so often that he had not a thing. And he came to give himself for us. And who was I? I was a sinner, taking the Lord's name in vain, living a life that I have nothing to do with Jesus. And I was an enemy and a rebel against God. And yet he comes and he goes to that cross and he takes on himself. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, because he was taking into his body, because he had a human flesh just like we are, except without sin. He's God and he's man. He's unique. He's the only one of his ever kind. And so he takes upon himself our sins. And Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, the holy sinless Son of God, takes all the sins from all time. As long as I left, all the past and all the present and all the future, they're all paid for. But you know that doesn't do a bit of good unless we accept that salvation. We accept that pardon. And that's why we're preaching to come to Jesus and tell him, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you just to come into my heart, take away my sins, and the Lord Jesus will. He'll wash you clean and make you pure, and he'll take all your sins away, and he'll clothe us with a robe of righteousness. And when we stand at the pearly gates, they can't say no, because we're in Christ and he's in us. Is the water in the sponge or the sponge in the water? We're all in that one when we accept Jesus. When we're born again, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And now we are in the Savior. And we come to that gate and we're all the righteousness of Christ, and we're all taken away. Oh, what's a wonderful picture. What a wonderful story that we have of this little widow woman and how she gave because she loved, and she showed that love, and she taught us how to give, and she taught us how to pray, and she taught us how to put God first and even sacrifice if needs be. And when I was working on this, I thought about the persecuted church and how much are they giving up. And we're so happy that some of the people in the persecuted church are part of our congregation, because on your little shortwave radios, you're not supposed to be listening to anything spiritual or religious, but you can get it in your home and you can worship with us. Some of you lost your homes, lost your churches, lost your loved ones, but they put Christ first and they never back down, and they're telling us, you stand true too, be as faithful to the Lord as you can be. And I wonder how I would react if I had, you know, if I was having to face it. And they would say, all right, you can confess Christ, or you're going to lose your head. You're going to be put to death, or you're going to be tortured or tormented. And I just hope and pray that I say, I don't care what you do. I hope I could say like those three young men I saw the picture of, and they had to kneel and bow their head. And they said to deny Jesus, and everyone in Arabic said, Jesus is Lord, and they died. And that's the kind of thing we have, you know, when we have a symbol for Christianity, we don't have an easy boy rocker. We have a cross, an old rugged cross in which Jesus died. And so many of his followers have died, and we admire them so, and someday they're going to wear a martyr's crown. So I'm praying today, you can't do it unless you have Jesus. You can't do it by just having good ideas. You have to have Jesus. Ask him into your heart. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins, and I pray that you come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll turn from sins the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And then you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You write and we'll send you literature. And you pray for us and we'll pray for you. And when someday, if you open your heart to Jesus just by faith, just ask him into your heart and he'll come. He wants to come. He died so he could come into your heart. You don't have to beg him at all. You just say, just throw open the door. There's no outside knob on that door. It's you have to open the door. He won't come in unless you open that door. Do it right now. And then write to us. Let me give you the address again. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for all the mothers and all the women that are listening. Bless them and encourage them. And Lord, be with those on beds of sickness and shut-ins, can't get out or do anything. Be with the young people, Lord. They have so many temptations. Just bless and help them. Bless the children. Bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be looking for that letter. Give it again, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And we'll thank you and we'll carry on. And next week we'll be back preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And oh, before we go, I have to tell you, God loves you no matter who you are or what you've done. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. Christian Worship Hour loves you. Every person working on it, we have a prayer team of 40 working and doing what we can to get out the gospel. We love you, and I want to tell you that I love you, and I want to see you in heaven. I want to shake your hand. I want to see your face. I want to talk to you. But you can't get there without Jesus. You have to have Jesus. And Jesus loves you, and we all love you. Don't turn it away. Don't turn your back on such a thing. Don't think that you're going to get there by good works, because that'll never work. It's only through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way. You can come on that way right now, right today, right this minute. And so God bless you. See you next week.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For 76 years as a pastor, his heart's desire was that everyone would know that Jesus loves them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin can have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus, we invite you to visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream this message again along with other 30 and 60 minute programs. Find a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter titled A New Song. Explore devotionals and frequently asked questions. Submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page or leave us a comment or question. Our weekly program is also available on our website, Facebook page, Vimeo and YouTube channels, and on several podcast platforms. Please continue to pray for this ministry, and if the Lord leads you, consider helping us financially as we proclaim the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.